Let's go out to Winnipeg, where the Jets, a very exciting team, and it'll be an exciting offseason as Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg News, beat reporter for the Jets, joins us. And, Mike, quite the offseason coming up for the Jets because they've got Line A and Kyle Connor as well as Jacob Trouba as their big RFAs. You know, you throw in a guy like Andrew Kopp, who's a pretty good player for them. You know, even on the back end, Nathan Beaulieu. So lots of RFAs, you know, Brandon Tanev is a UFA, and I'm guessing that, you know, and Tyler Myers. So let's start with the RFAs. Obviously, they'll qualify them all, of course, but it seems, you know, they won't be able to fit them all in. You can't sign Trouba and Myers and Line A and Connor with all the guys they have. So is Trouba the most likely to get moved? And if he does, what would they want in return?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, Jacob Trouba to me is got one foot out the door, and I would expect the second foot to be following at least by next week's draft out in Vancouver. If you're the Winnipeg Jets, there's just no way to make the numbers work. And not with, as you say, Line and Connor looking ahead 1 year. You've got Josh Morrissey, who's going to be due for a lengthy extension and a big raise. They have Blake Wheeler's new contract that kicks in this summer. The Jets are in salary cap hell, and Jacob Trouba and the money that certainly we've heard that he and his camp are looking for, the numbers just do not compute. And so I think if you're the Jets, you can't go into next season with Jacob Trouba now in his UFA year, a John Tavares situation, if you will, where you risk losing him for nothing. You have to move on, and if Trouba isn't willing to sign the long-term extension, and every indication is he is not, you cut your loss at this point. You move him for whatever you can get. I think if you're the Jets guys, you're looking for two things. You're looking for a defenseman. You're certainly not going to get a Jacob Trouba back, but you're probably looking for a young defenseman who has some cost certainty, maybe somebody who's already under contract for a few more seasons. And hopefully carrying a much less cap hit than Jacob Trouba is going to. And then I think you're also looking to stock the prospect shelf. The Jets have traded their first-round pick, two straight trade deadlines. As good as their system has been in terms of adding to their talent, it's starting to get a little thin. And so I think a young defenseman with some cost certainty, and whether it's a first-round or an early second-round draft pick, that has to be the priority.
When I look up front, who would be the first person to get signed, Kyle Connor or Patrick Laine?
Good question, because I think you almost need to figure out both of them around the same time, right? Because and I would suggest, guys, that you need to at least have a very good idea what their numbers are going to be prior to July 1, because then that's going to allow you to decide what else you might be able to do. You mentioned Brandon Tanev. That's a player the Jets would love back. I don't know that they're going to be able to afford him. Ben Chiarot is another pending UFA. He was on the second-line pair pretty much all season with Dustin Byfuglien. He's due for a raise, and whether the Jets can afford him. And then certainly the Tyler Myers question. If Jacob Trouba does indeed get traded, depending what you get back, is there a way to make the money work and get Tyler Myers back under contract? And if you don't, you've now lost. You know, the big strength of the Jets has been the right side D with Dustin Byfuglien, Jacob Trouba, and Tyler Myers. You now risk going into next season losing two-thirds of your big right blue liners, and all you have left is Dustin Byfuglien, an aging Dustin Byfuglien who missed half of last season with several different injuries, and I'm not sure that's an ideal position the Jets want to be in. So I think when it comes to Line and Connor, I'm on record as saying that I think a bridge deal is much more likely for Patrick Laine. I think it makes sense for both sides because right now, I mean, who is Patrick Laine? Is he the guy that absolutely exploded last November and had that 5-goal game and I think it was 19 goals, something like that in the month? Or is he the guy that struggled at times last year in his third pro season to really produce? And so I think maybe you buy some more time from both sides to see if Laine is truly that $10 million a year player that we've heard his agent and his camp want. I think Kyle Connor is the simpler deal to get done. He's much more consistent. You know what you have. I would expect a long-term extension, probably in the range of $6.5 to $7 million for Kyle Connor.
Now, Line A, I'm hearing a lot of people think it'll be a bridge deal. But even on a bridge deal, I'm hearing it's probably going to be $6 million. Like, bridge deals of low money now just aren't going to be that, because the long-term deals are likely going to be $9 million plus.
I'll tell you what. I mean, I actually think $6 million is going to be low even on a bridge deal. I think Patrick Laine is probably still going to get somewhere north of seven, even as high as eight on a bridge deal. So that's going to be a heavy hit, obviously, for the Jets. In a way, Laine would be taking perhaps $1 million or two less than he might be getting on a long-term extension and betting on himself a little bit. We know he's a very confident player. We also know that despite his faults, and he does have some, his defensive game still needs work. His skating certainly still needs work, and maybe it'll never fully develop to a point that everybody's happy with. But he's still one of the premier goal scorers in this league. And at the end of the day, guys, putting the puck in the other team's net is what it's all about. And there haven't been many better than Patrick Laine in the three seasons he's been. He had what I think everybody would consider a pretty weak year last season, and he still put up 30.
Yeah, that's the funny part. He had 50 points, and you look at it, and over the 3 years he's been in the league, he has one fewer goal than Austin Matthews, right? Two fewer than Connor McDavid. Now, you know, I'm not saying that he's in Connor McDavid's category. I'm just saying he's that good of a goal scorer, and it's hard to replace those guys. And now, when people look at Laine's game last year, because outside of that one red hot month, the other 5 months he just simply wasn't that good scoring goals. What was lacking from Laine's game last year compared to the previous two?
It's interesting that we heard only after the season, guys, that he had battled a back injury pretty much all last season. They actually deemed it sort of a chronic issue that he was never able to really get a hold of, and it did bother him. He also had a groin injury down the stretch that seeped over into the playoffs. I'll say this, I actually thought Patrick Laine played his best hockey of the season. In the playoffs, he looked like a man possessed, throwing his body around, back-checking in a way that we don't often see, and all the more impressive when you heard that he was quite banged up. So I think the back injury certainly played a role. We also know that Patrick Laine can be a very streaky player, and when, you know, his highs are very high, but his lows can be very low. He gets down on himself. He sort of beats himself up, and I think that almost becomes a self-defeating prophecy. He's going to have to find a way, obviously, to get a little more consistency in his game. I do think, though, that there were steps, even when he wasn't scoring as the season went on, that showed that he understood that there are other things he can do to help the team win. There were times, guys, early in the year where he was a liability when he was on the ice. I think he removed a lot of that from his game as the season went on, and that's an encouraging sign.
Mike McIntyre joins us, Winnipeg News, talking about the Winnipeg Jets and what is their, in Mike's terms, cap hell. Mike, Jack Raslovich, is this guy, you know, is he being held back numbers-wise because of opportunity? And is there a chance that he could pop up the lineup and deliver on what, you know, a lot of people expected a couple of years ago as being a top six player?
Yeah, it's fascinating to me, guys. 2015, the Jets have two first-round draft picks that year. They take Kyle Connor, 17th overall, Jack Roslovich, 25th. Both guys, very similar pedigree. They were playing in college, not the same college. Both highly regarded prospects. And in the year or so that followed, I think a lot of people saw Roslovich and Connor as on a very similar wavelength. Look at where they are now. Jack Roslovich, as I said, probably going to get somewhere in the range of $7 million a year, maybe over seven seasons. Jack Roslovich is entering the final year of his entry-level deal, and if his contract were up for renewal, he'd be hard-pressed to make more than maybe $1.5 million, $2 million, given what he's been able to do. The opportunity has not been there, but I also think a lot of this is on Jack Roslovich, that he still has yet to make the most of even his limited opportunities. When he finds himself maybe in that fourth-line role or with limited minutes, he's still got to do more. There's got to be more consistency. But, guys, we have seen flashes of brilliance. There was that week back in early February. Jack Roslovich was named the NHL's first star of the week. He had a hat trick and two other goals in a couple other games. There were some injuries at that point that elevated him up the lineup. He was actually playing on the top power play unit and producing. And then as the Jets got healthy, his role and his minutes got reduced. And, again, we sort of didn't see – the consistency night in and night out from Rossovic. That's not unusual for young players, but I think the Jets still love what they have in terms of the potential of this player. I know there was talk. His agent denies that he asked for a trade last year. I don't believe he did ask for a trade. And I think the Jets would be foolish at this point to move on. They still have him on a very good contract, obviously his ELC this coming season. And I think there is going to be a chance for him to play up the lineup.
Mike McIntyre joins us from Winnipeg. Mike, one last one for you. Tyler Myers. So if Truba's traded, are they turning their focus? Is it like if we can make a deal for Truba, then they will maintain Myers? Because if you lose Truba and Myers, that's a massive part of your right side gone.
Especially when the window, and I think everybody would agree, the Jets are not a rebuilding team. This is a team that is still very much built to win in the here and now, and that window of opportunity is still very much open, I'd say at least for a couple more seasons. So you're right. You don't want to now all of a sudden have to completely rebuild your blue line. I do think, guys, it's going to take some creative accounting. Maybe it means buying out a Dmitry Kulikov or moving Dmitry Kulikov and the 1 year remaining on his contract, which is around $4.5 million. Maybe you have to send him to a team and throw in a sweetener. Maybe you have to move Matthew Perreault. There's another player that I think the Jets could look to move to a team, maybe like an Ottawa that needs to that can take on contracts in exchange for some sweeteners back. The Jets are going to have to find a way to open up some cap space, and the clock is certainly ticking.
Well, it's going to be an interesting next few weeks for the Winnipeg Jets. Mike, I appreciate your time.
You bet, guys. All the best. Take care.
Mike McIntyre joining us from Winnipeg.